Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
I'm going to start with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Brad Pitt, he's a rich guy.
He is.
What's Brad Pitt's net worth?
$400 million.
I'll say $300.
$401 million.
$401 million. Did you say $400?
Mm-hmm.
It's $400 million. That's 2 points for Vinny.
Oh, my.
Good job, Vin.
Thanks, everyone. But there was Maddie with the mother you know water.
That's good money. That is big, big money. Net worth of $400 million. I mean, it varies.
Well, he's done a lot of movies. Like, he's not someone who...
Yes, he has.
He's been at it since he was very young. I don't even know when he broke through with, you know, that
Thelma and Louise.
That adventure movie. Yeah. I don't know how old he was, but...
He was... Young.
He's steadily been making movies 3, 4, 5 a year since then.
Yeah. Yes. He is in a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. What movie that he made the most money?
By the way, he was 27 when he did that movie.
I'm shocked.
I am shocked. All right. What movie that he was in made the most movie of all the movies he made? Which one made the most?
Well, Fight Club is the first sort of snap answer, but I
not in the list of his top 10.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. I'm like having trouble. It can't be Troy. That was a horrible movie and not well received.
That's in the top 10.
What?
Oh, I liked that movie.
You did?
Yeah, that first scene where he runs up and kills the guy.
I didn't even watch it.
It's really good.
But I know it didn't get good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Seven!
No, and that's also not
I'm thinking,
top 10.
I don't know why,
it's a
but
good movie,
I think because Tom Cruise was in Interview with the Vampire.
That's not in the top 10 either.
Really?
Maybe one of the Oceans?
Those are in the top 10.
Benjamin Button.
That's also in the top 10.
Oh, okay.
No, the movie, I'll give you one more hint. This movie, he's in it for exactly 1 second, and this is the movie that made the most money of all the movies.
Oh, the movie made the most money.
Yeah.
Oh, then that would be the last, what's his name?
Mohican!
Deadpool.
It is Deadpool 2. Oh. That the last Deadpool. That's, well, there might have been a third, right? It was Deadpool versus Wolverine.
That was a trick question.
Yeah.
It was a trick question.
Calling BS.
But Maddie did still, he knows that there's a 1 second cameo of Brad in that. All right. So,
I turned that off and you know I did.
Oh my God, me too. Deadpool 3 you turned off, but Deadpool 2, he's in it and it's a 1 second cameo. He plays, hold on, he even has a character name.
I forget, he's an invisible guy that then...
He's called the Vanisher. They say, Brad had a blink and you'll miss a cameo as the Vanisher, a superhero that Deadpool isn't even sure really exists because he's invisible and he doesn't talk. But it turns out he is real. We see him briefly when he jumps from a plane, lands on some power lines, and is electrocuted.
He's electrocuted and all of a sudden there's Brad Pitt's face. Ah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is a funny joke.
It was great. I love that movie.
Because of all the people in the world who might want to be... invisible. It wouldn't be the guy with Brad Pitt's face, that's for sure. Be like, I gotta work this.
Right, that's the joke.
All right, so now I've got the top 10 here. I'm asking you, which of these movies made more? Play a little game here.
Okay.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I didn't even think of that.
Or F1, his latest. What made more? Maddie, you're first.
I'm gonna say F1.
I'm going to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because it was pre-COVID.
I will say F1 and by a lot.
F1 by a lot. Sorry, Bob.
How much did F1 make?
$631 million. These are global. These are worldwide numbers.
I still haven't watched it.
Deadpool 2 made $785 million globally. So that's his number one movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though, did well. It made $392 million. Which made more? World War Z or The Curious Case of Benjamin Button? Bob, you're first.
Benjamin Button.
Agreed.
I'll go World War Z.
That's the right answer. World War Z made $540 million.
I don't know one person who's seen that movie.
I've seen it.
I saw it.
I read the book.
It wasn't bad, right?
I don't know. It was fine, but it had nothing to do with the book. I was I love that book. There was nothing. What are those graphs called where it's two circles and then the intersection is the things
Venn
they have?
Venn diagram.
Thank you. In the Venn diagram, it's like the title. That is the only thing that those two things have in common, World War Z.
It's a great book.
World War Z made $540. Curious Case of Benjamin Button made $336 million.
You know why I snapped to Benjamin Button is because they got, whether it was for makeup or whatever, they got Academy attention. And so I think of those names when they come up thinking, oh, that must have been huge.
Which made more, Inglourious Basterds or Troy?
Troy.
Vinny's first, but...
Troy.
Ugh, I've been wrong every time, but I'm going to stick with Inglourious Basterds.
I'm sorry, Troy is the correct answer.
Dang,
Troy
people need better taste.
I know, Inglourious Basterds was a good movie.
A great movie. Troy made $497 million and Inglourious Basterds made $321. And finally, what made more? Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12? Maddie, you got to go first.
I'm going to go Ocean's 12.
I'm going to go 12.
I'm going 12 too.
11 is the correct answer.
Oh my gosh.
Ocean's 11, $450 million, and Ocean's 12, $362 million. So nobody gets a point on that. Currently, though, boy, we've racked up a lot of points today. Maddie's in the lead with 6, and Vinny's second with 4, and Bob has zilch.
I mean, that was a mini game, so I feel like the winner should just get 1 point.
Nah, I really feel like, I feel like we're just adding them up now.
I thought you didn't care.
I don't care.
She doesn't care, but Bob should get a point for being wonderful, don't you think?
Yes.
Thanks, Vinny.
I agree with that. 1 point. You know what? 2 points.
I agree with that.
Yeah. You guys are so generous. And on a Monday.
It's just the way we are.
I don't like it.
Paris Hilton knows a little something something about being the victim of non-consensual pornography. Anybody want to debate that?
Nope.
What's the question again?
It's not a question, it's a statement.
Oh.
Paris Hilton knows something about being the victim of non-consensual pornography.
And you're asking if I don't want to debate that. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. I feel like the only debate here is whether or not that guy released it without her knowledge. And if he did, when she says he did, I mean, it wasn't non-consensual sex. They were definitely two consenting adults. It was that the porn was...
Was it videoed released. Against her without her knowledge?
No, she knew.
She knew.
So she looked at the
camera.
She knew they were filming
a movie,
but she didn't know it was going to be released as a gigantic hit porn movie starring Paris Hilton. And was it Scott?
Who cares?
It's not Scott Shannon.
No,
I always say Scott Shannon. Poor Scott Shannon. It's probably not even Scott. And the one thing I remember is.
This is the same guy that married Pam Anderson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for a minute.
I don't know this guy. I didn't watch this movie. I'm actually not interested in Paris as in general.
She's really hot in it. I watched it. And
you liked it.
Rick Solomon.
That's the guy.
I got to remember his name's not Scott. Rick Solomon.
Scott Shannon.
The funniest thing about that movie was...
The porn.
Well, there were a few funny things, actually. In one of them, he's doing her and her phone rings and she reaches right over to grab it.
That's hurtful.
The night vision thing was funny.
The guy is so coked up, it's never going to happen. And at the very beginning, this was...
Wait, they're doing coke on camera?
No.
No, but it turns out, I think he even says, I can barely feel a thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm so numb. But... At the very beginning, this was right after 9/11. He did this whole for the armed forces or in memory of, like, that's how this porno starts with this flowing American flag thing. I'm like, that seems wrong.
In the early days, I don't mean to be an expert on anything porn related, but in the early days, the old movies that I still will watch for inspiration today. They all begin with this, and it must there must have been a court case where they protected porn, you know, because people were after it, saying this is people doing it on camera for money. It's there's it can't be legal.
Right.
And they went after it as free speech, won the case, and every video started with a flowing American flag.
Yeah. I wonder if it was sort of along those lines.
No, you're absolutely right, because I also will still watch for inspiration, and I have seen the flag.
You know, it acted like the hypocrisy there is so crazy that prostitution is illegal most places, and yet if you're getting paid and a camera's rolling,
legal.
It's completely
it's
legal.
Art.
It's fine. Right.
Art and free speech. Get out
so
of here.
So lame. Ugh.
Yep.
Anyway, so to begin this story again, Paris Hilton knows a little something about being the victim of non-consensual pornography, so it's really not too surprising that she's got a problem with AI-generated deepfake porn. So the kind of things that she's talking about here are you take the face of someone at work or someone random or someone, you know, maybe you know them, maybe you don't know them, maybe it's just completely AI-generated. But you can watch someone disrobe. Like, to me, that's like super creepy. Imagine if you found out that somebody that worked in your building, say, who saw you in the lobby a few times and took a couple pictures, used your likeness to star in their sex movie. Whoa.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting. She's teamed up with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, to encourage the passage of the Defiance Act. And that is the acronym. Defiance. Disrupt explicit forged images and non-consensual edits. And it would give, it's all the letters. It would give the victims a right to sue creators and distributors. So I guess if your husband, while he was on a porn site, saw you starring in a porn, that you were like, well, I've never been on that beach or, you know, wherever the thing is. You'd have to defend yourself to your husband. Oh, my God. No, I swear I didn't make a porno.
Okay. I was in college, but I didn't know the camera was on.
At a press conference on Thursday, Paris said, when I was 19 years old, oh, my goodness, all the lights are going.
It's okay. We're okay. We're good.
Okay. I mean, everything... The broadcast
We're
is
blinking.
Still going.
We are still on the air.
This is, oh, it's like a rave.
It is like a rave.
Put on Harry Styles' new song.
Oh, yeah, it'll be perfect for that. Do you think it's ever going to stop?
I hope not.
You know, I hope people can see this on the... If you're watching our live feed right now on YouTube, this is a wonderful...
You're seeing it, for
yeah,
sure.
This is a total party. Do you think that this is like an alarm?
I don't think so.
I will say about 10 minutes ago.
It's doing it in the hallway.
I think it's the construction people are
all the TVs,
made something loose.
Pardon me. All the TVs out there are off right now.
Oh.
But ours aren't.
A couple minutes ago, it might have been last half hour, I saw three very official dudes in like fluorescent vests walking by.
I think they're doing something today.
Running some kind of test.
Oh, someone in the YouTube said Vecna's coming.
Oh, yeah, it is like Vecna coming.
The lights are back on.
Oh, they're back on. Oh, no, they're not. No, they are. There they are.
Okay.
You were saying?
I'm just going to keep
back on
it. It's okay. Keep the rave music on. At a press conference on Thursday, Paris Hilton said, when I was 19 years old, a private, intimate video of me was shared with the world without my consent. It was abuse. There were no laws at the time to protect me. Deep fake pornography has become an epidemic. Victims deserve more than after the fact apologies. We deserve justice.
I agree.
I agree as well. I think it's good. Boy, this is really going on for quite a while. A heads up would have been nice if this is some kind of alarm situation. I mean, honestly, we're strobing.
It's a vibe, as Bob would say.
Should we dance a little bit?
Yeah, do a little.
No one can see this.
You sure you can if you're
on YouTube.
You're watching our YouTube right now.
You're missing out if you're not on YouTube. Aww. Oh, there we go. Right on beat, too.
Ay, ay, ay.
Vinny, you know you want to dance.
I do not want to dance. I really don't.
All right. I got a couple jelly roll stories. Jelly roll.
Did we finish? Oh, we did finish the other one.
We
okay.
did. Oh, you know what? Here, I'll tell you this because it's been hanging around in my pile for a while. And you're the only one who will care. It sounds like, what?
Don't do stuff that I'm the only, if I'm the only one.
No, you're the only one. Well, Maddie will care.
Okay.
Oh, Kieran's here. Ask Kieran what the hell's going on. Because honestly, the light show in here is a little bit distracting. It sounds like the new Jackass movie won't any newly shot stunts.
Now, they did enough stuff that they've got a full movie in the can.
This is coming from Bam Margera, who is probably the least involved of anyone, because we did hear that he signed a release so that they can use some of his old shots. We do know a little bit more about it, but it's a movie that's coming out later this year, but it came from Bam Margera, so take it with a grain of salt. He confirmed he's only going to appear in older unused footage, and he suggested that the whole movie will be made up of previously unreleased stuff, particularly from Jackass Forever. Is that the name of one of the movies?
Yes, but I'm not familiar with... I've watched them all. I love these boys. I think that they're crazy and fun and funny. I also think they get hurt.
Yes.
Like, Knoxville has admitted that he, from one of his or multiple stunts, he ended up with a catheter and having to...
pee blood?
He couldn't control things and ended up with a bag.
Oh, and is that ongoing?
I think it's gotten better, but I can't say I know. I'm not an expert on him. I just know that his injuries go beyond the filming of these movies. Mm. Like, he gets hurt bad.
Didn't one of the guys break his back?
Yeah, they have really serious...
Yeah, they do stuff.
Yeah, the time that Johnny went with the bull, I believe that was one of his real big accidents, that like he fractured vertebrae and stuff.
Anyway, Bam says, they said, we're going to sift through a lot of old footage, try to create something new. And I said, hey, hell yeah, go for it. Because I remember filming so much funny stuff that never made it into the movie. Even if Bam was asked to film something new, it sounds like he's not interested. My feelings toward them are still F you. I'm just too hurt by it. Time will tell, but right now at this time, I don't want to do anything.
I'm surprised because they were trying to help him when he was a dude smoking crack on what are the evening rags, like TMZ or these shows where he's stalking his kid and his wife, former partner, is just trying to get through the day. And here's a guy smoking crack outside the restaurant they're eating in or whatever. Like, it just.
Yeah, it seemed like he was in trouble.
TMZ just talked to Steve-O. And Steve-O was just nothing but nice about the whole situation, saying, we would love to have him back. You know, we've just always been praying for his recovery and that he gets sober. And it's like, it doesn't seem like there's any ill will on their end, even though they were the ones that suffered because of his addiction.
It sounded like they actually tried to get him cleaned up.
Johnny got Steve-O cleaned up, and they both tried to clean up Bam. So I think these are people who tried to look after their friend. And their friend didn't see it that way because he felt slighted. But because
they fired him when he fell off the wagon.
Right. Once you get your head cleared up, you see much more clearly that it was you, not them. Mm. It was me, not the rest of the world.
Hi, I'm the problem. It's
right.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Michelle Obama. She went on the, I think it's the Call Me Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy. Yeah, she went on a podcast, Michelle, and she says her marriage to Barack is constant work. It is work.
Oh, God, I know that feeling. Is she going to a counselor, too?
Yeah. Mm. She says Michelle and Barack have attended couples therapies. They're constantly working on their 33-year marriage. She was talking...
That's real life, everyone.
...to Alex Cooper is the host. I think this is just last Wednesday's episode. She said she's a huge believer in therapy. We've been in couples therapy, 62-year-old Michelle said about herself and Barack, who is 64. I believe in the practice of having those conversations with objective people who help you piece through that stuff. And it's a constant, it's constant work. She also clarified, listeners shouldn't be scared of therapy because we're ever growing, evolving, and improving. She also discussed learning early in their marriage that they can't change each other. She said, I've grown to know I don't have control over him, just like he doesn't have control over me. So let me do my work and let him do our work. And together we come together as whole people.
The lights are still flashing,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, it's just so a party. You know, it's not distracting at all.
It's a crazy situation.
I love that she said that, though, because I think that there is a fairy tale idea of what your life will be like once you get out of school and you'll get married and have kids and it'll be wonderful. And there's one of the couples the world looks at.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the United States, they look at them and think, oh, those two. What do they say? Marriage goals or partner goals, whatever say.
Couple goals,
right. Whatever. And there's someone being real about it and saying, we have to work at this.
It's
and
true.
Often we just do what we can for ourselves and then maybe have dinner together or whatever.
Yes. I love, and this is part of that whole trend. It's like the focus on mental health is so great. When I was a kid, my mom, I went to a therapist. And she was like, don't tell anybody and don't tell, like it was a secret. And
that you were going to a counselor.
Right, that I was going to a psychiatrist.
Got it. Okay.
And it was just very, she didn't want my grandparents knowing, you know, whatever. And there are so many people who benefit from this now. And I love that the stigma isn't there the way it was. And forget us, like my parents' generation, it just was unheard of. Like, no.
For sure.
It felt mamby-pamby.
And I'll tell you, this is an example of the different generations as well. Like, I love my parents. I barely know them. By that, I mean, they didn't tell us every stupid thing that happened to them as kids. And they don't have Instagrams that we can look at to look at all the pictures that they've ever taken of every minute of their lives.
Right.
And when things would come up, I'd be like, you never told me that. We didn't? No. Like, how could you not tell your kid? Like, whatever it is. It's interesting that the boomer generation did not share every minute of their life with every person around them.
Right.
They just didn't.
Maybe there just wasn't that kind of attitude. Like, it seems like people had to work harder. Like, every generation probably feels like, oh, the people before me had to work harder. But then you go back a few generations and life was, you know, a lot harder. And there was also that whole children are seen and not heard thing. Like, I think people are way less strict now. And
they want to be friends with their kids.
Yes.
They want to have a good relationship, which wasn't.
So they encourage, which is great.
Was never the goal.
I actually really feel like some people come out of it with just great relationships with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen, at this point, I'm getting a headache from these flashing lights.
You don't know this, but
our room is lit now. Half.
I just turned ours off.
And oh, you just turned
ours off. I'll come turn yours off.
No, please, we'll turn ours off. Double click it. You got to kind of double click them. Oh, that's so much better.
Jesus. Oh, that is better.
Can you still see us though on the camera anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a cozy episode now.
415. The lights are hilarious. Maybe turn on the YouTube channel. I think I'm getting dizzy though. That's a girl from Fairfax.
It's really like, seriously, if you have epilepsy, do not watch our feed today.
Well, it was fun for a second and now it's over. We turn the lights off. It's safe.
I can see that the lights are still going haywire out in the hallway though.
I talked to our boss, Kieran, and she's just as confused as we are, but our boy Matt's on it.
Yeah, so. I saw him
Matt's
run
here.
In.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt's
I checked
on it.
In. Hey, you guys okay? I know the lights are flashing. Anybody get stabbed by the lights? That's my Matt impersonation.
No, I heard it.
What do you think about that? I want to talk to you guys about this, the lighting situation that we have going on here.
I've got some graphs up here on the screen.
Yeah, I'm going to show you if you turn your director eyes to the monitor up there.
Oh,
I'm going to break it down minute by minute. Like, what was the reaction of everybody?
Look at this graph.
Hmm.
Well, it was nice while it lasted, Matt. Nice knowing you.
All right, what's coming up in the news, Vin?
Lululemon warning.
Uh-oh.
After these.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.
The Super Bowl this time around, this year, will be here in the Bay Area. We're the host. It'll be at Levi's. And the teams playing were decided over the weekend. Seattle versus New England.
Go, Patriots! Pat. Come on, Pat.
It is set. Now, this first story.
Yes.
You youngsters out there are going to say, oh, the old folks are talking about stuff about them. I'm not. This is aimed right at you, young people of today.
Okay.
There's a story in the Merck News about trying to retire in California.
Mm.
California ranks among the worst states to retire in.
The taxes are really high.
It's a lot of stuff. It's a combination of things, but yes, absolutely the taxes, also the home insurance, also the price, like all these things. So if you want to retire in your home state, let's say you're born in California and you're like, well, isn't that my birthright that I get to be in California?
I would like to retire there.
It's not your birthright, although you might think so. And you'll find out that Social Security benefits are not nearly enough to help you in retirement stay in your home state. In fact, it's been designed to supplement your home savings and the pension system that most of us have not been a part of.
Right.
So you're not going to be able to stay here with Social Security alone. You better start saving young.
What do you need to have saved to retire in California?
I don't have that number in front of me, but I know that the best and worst states for retirees, the best one is Wyoming, New Hampshire, Vermont, Montana, and South Dakota. That's the top five states this year in terms of retirement states. Mm. Down at the bottom is California. Mm. Not the worst, but down there.
You want to guess how much you need in savings?
$1.5
million. $1.6
million. Two.
It's actually $1.47 million and $2.3 million in savings, somewhere in between there.
Oh, so we're all in
You're
the
all
range.
Winners.
We're all winners.
And that is a reality that people, you have to start saving early.
Crazy.
In order for it to pile up enough. Like you just do.
Because just the cost of living here is huge. Forget all the other taxes and all the other stuff that you're going to be on the hook for. Just gas here is expensive.
Everything. We were out with our neighbors who are actually looking at moving in order to be able to retire and have their retirement income last them. And they're looking at Arizona. And everything from the price of gas for your car all the way through property tax and
property taxes here are crushing.
And then home insurance. If you live anywhere near a tree, you might even be canceled, but worse, you might pay $10,000 a year just to insure a home that you're like, I can't afford that.
Mm.
How am I going to do that?
Right.
I'm already
on top of everything else.
In over my head.
And healthcare is so expensive. Like when you retire, a lot of people, you know, you get Medicare, or Medicaid. I can't remember which one you get when you're 65, but you also, like you always see, you have to supplement that. It's just really expensive.
Yeah, it is. And it's a common misconception that Social Security alone will comfortably support retirement. Social Security was designed to be one of three legs of retirement income. You will not make it on that. Along that with pensions and personal savings. So start thinking about it now. I did that story for you. You don't think so, but I'm warning you. You can just start putting it away in your 401k and you'll say, but I need that money. It's put a little.
Yep.
Just a little. Just start the account.
If you have a 401k account, put the absolute max that they will allow you to do. And future you will be so grateful. But I recommend a book called The 9 Steps to Financial Freedom. It's a Susie Orman book. Some of it's probably a little dated now because I read it many years ago. But there are still principles in that can get you where you need to go with really simple, non-expensive bites of money that you earn getting put away on the regular. And you think you won't need it, but you will.
I'm with you. But I also know people feel like, I barely make enough to live. I can't put. So put whatever you can.
Whatever you can.
$2.
Whatever you can. Whatever you can put away.
To start that savings for your future. And future you will. Like, you'll be in your 30s and go, thank God I started that. In your 50s, you'll go, oh my gosh. If I hadn't started that, I'd be looking at Arizona now.
I'm looking at West Virginia.
That's well, your retirement plan.
That's, we all would have guessed that.
Even whether it was cheap or not, I'm sure you'd be
it's
looking
really
at
it. It's really going to be all I can afford, though.
Lululemon is temporarily removing a new style of leggings from its online store in North America following some customer complaints. This is a heads up.
Are they see-through?
They are see-through.
You know, that is one of the big problems with a lot of... They're more like tights than like yoga pants.
They say it's pulling the new Get Low collection from online stores to understand some initial guest feedback, which is people see my stuff when I bend over in yoga.
Mm. I remember seeing a lot of stuff in yoga. Be like, wow.
We expect
you're not
to bring
wearing underwear.
Well, you shouldn't wear underwear with tights, but
yes, you should.
I don't think so. To me, that seems like. More comfortable? Mm. How is that possible?
Just more comfortable. I don't know. I feel secure.
I agree. I wear my cotton Third Love undies.
Mm.
You too?
Yeah. But I have friends who go with nothing.
Yeah. And then do you see their wahoo when they bend over?
Well, when you're in down dog,
The
people behind you should be in down dog. So nobody should be looking at your butt when it's up in the
air.
Yeah, but sometimes
general, you'd like to spend $70 to $100 on a pair of tights that don't require you to do a check with your friends before
I gotta wear
you
leggings
go to class.
Underneath these.
Hey, can you look and see if you see stuff?
Right. I can't see too much because of the cotton panel you got in there, but I am seeing your full crack.
Anyway, they say they plan to bring the collection back to the store very soon. Changes may or may not be needed. But the truth is they're saying these things have been reviewed horribly. Mm-hmm. They are see-through. If you got their new Get Low tights,
you can bring them back.
Consider some underwear.
Yeah.
According to the ladies here. You don't want to, unless you want everyone to see your stuff.
Maybe you do. Some people are exhibitionists.
Well.
And why take
is it wrong?
No. Nothing's really wrong.
I actually don't think purposely showing someone your stuff in a yoga class is appropriate or legal.
So you're saying it's wrong?
I'm saying it's illegal.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. It's fine.
So you think that
to do it on purpose?
Someone behind
you. It's violating
you
somebody else.
Is going to go.
Just don't look. All the dudes are happy about
it. I'm calling the cops on this lady.
That's it. I have flashed her wahoo too many times.
What?
Who's calling the cops on a semi-see-through pair of
I didn't
tights?
Say anyone was calling the cops.
But you're saying
it's illegal.
Illegal.
She should pay a fine.
I don't think you should force
my
people
eyeballs.
To look at you like that. That seems wrong.
You.
I'm going on
it's
record.
Like radio. You can just look at somebody else's butt anytime you want.
Pick up your mat and move to another location.
And then a guy will slot right in behind there. Don't you worry. Like, why are you moving? Because I can see all there's. Okay.
I'll switch your spots. No problem.
Ugh.
Well,
I, for one, would not want my stuff showing. And I did think to myself when I saw other people's stuff showing, I was like, oh my God, these things are not. We all think these are covering our butts. So then, of course, I started doing, you know, looking in the mirror to see if anything was showing.
So you get in the hike position.
Yep.
In
and
front of the mirror
between
with
your
all
legs,
the lights on.
And you
go,
see if anyone can see.
I think I see my eye. Or whatever. You know.
Well, I always wear underpants. So you don't
see anything.
So I was just like, nope, they're fully covered.
Okay.
All my stuff is secret still. Secret stuff.
Except for that run through the Eastern Seaboard in the, what was that, the 80s?
Yeah, but luckily there was no social media, no phones with cameras in them, no videos of every damn thing.
I feel that way about my childhood as well.
It's a relief.
Mm-hmm.
I was up to. Would have been a problem. I'd probably be so famous, though. Oh.
This lady, this singer from that band, wow. Geneva, is a good time, everyone.
Yep.
A man in Pittsburgh allegedly stole a 30,000 full-sized harp.
Is that what a harp costs? 30,000 bucks?
That's part of the joy that I have in this story is...
Is it harp, a golden harp, like from an angel?
30K?
Yeah, they're it's a very complicated piece of
Oh my
of,
God, of you know about
musician
this.
Stuff
Don't
there.
Tell me all the West Virginians play
no,
harp.
No, no, but like you just see them.
I always picture it like, you know.
At antiques and stuff, and they're always expensive.
What an interior of a piano looks like. It's got this like frame,
yes.
You know, that the mallets hit. I always picture that inside my piano when I'm mm-hmm. when I'm playing it. But you know, these harps though, they're pretty ornate, right? Like if they've got like a bass and yeah. a and a whole like
yeah, and they're sometimes made out of, you know, single piece of wood that's been bent.
Who the hell's playing the harp anymore? Like is there, you know, the kids are offered all kinds of instruments and they get to fourth grade or whatever. And then but I never saw a harp on any of those lists. Like is it only princes and princesses who learn to play the harp?
I have like, no idea, what? But they sell for 30K.
Damn.
A man in Pittsburgh stole a $30,000 full-size harp last week.
Can one person carry that?
It says he was able to. He took it to the riverbank, removed his clothes, jumped in the river, and then started struggling in the water. The police were called. The rescuers were able to pull the man to the shore, what? Get him medical care. He's at the hospital now and in stable condition. It sounds like the harp is okay, too. Thankfully, the guy didn't jump in with the harp, they say. They're investigating. This may be a mental health issue. But still, a $30,000 harp is not... You can't put that in your pocket.
No.
Or even in your
enormous
jacket.
I wonder if it has like a like wheels built in, like you tip it back and you can roll it like a dolly. Right to the moat that he jumped into to get away from the castle where the harp lives.
They are pursuing charges related to the stolen harp once they figure out what's going on with this guy. Which it may, there may not be a good answer right. for that. There may be one of those. Yeah, no one gets it.
Yeah, that harp. I don't know. You know, you don't really hear about harps.
No.
All that often.
But now you know.
That's a pretty interesting story, Vin. $30,000 for a harp. Like, is that a high-end harp? Is that a practice harp?
Oh, I hope that's a practice harp? You're telling me a harp might cost more?
Let's see. A harp. This one is a 27-string. That can't be too big. There's a $630 one.
They do say full size in this one, so it's a big...
Harp for sale full size? Okay.
The head high
full
one.
Size. There's one for $6,500. There's one for $2,500. Oh, this one's $38,000.
There you go.
Oh, and it's gold.
Okay.
The most expensive one I see so far is $38,000.
Do you think that is still played like in churches or something?
You know, doesn't it seem churchy?
I feel like you see them still in orchestras.
Oh, like a legit orchestra.
Yeah.
There's a harpist
yes.
there.
$75,000 for a premier decorated style.
Huh.
Well, okay. I didn't realize.
According
now
to this
I want
story,
a harp.
Out of Northern California, friendly neighbors still exist.
No.
A guy in Northern California. I looked it up. It's Nevada City, so it's like Tahoe area,
okay.
right?
Mm.
He didn't realize over $6,000 in cash fell out of his bag onto one of his neighbor's front yards.
Oh.
A very honest person found it in their yard and turned it in. They gathered up the loose cash and called police. The guy it belonged to said he got every cent back. Every dollar.
Wow.
All $6,270 of the money that he lost was found in a neighbor's yard and returned.
What was he? What did he?
I don't
that
know
kind of cash
what
for?
You're doing, dude. What
drug,
are you?
A drug deal? Or?
It does sound like that. Yeah, kinda, doesn't it?
Our party's ruined, man. I lost all the money for drugs. Don't worry, we still got a light show.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Our text number is 800-400-3697. You can text us, call us, and Maddie's on the show with your texts.
707, people play harp at Scottish Highland Games.
Oh, there were a bunch of Scottish harps when I was looking.
Oh.
Highland Games. Is I thought that they like played bagpipes.
It's like like they throw like a boulder and there's a thing where they toss a
maiden,
a log.
A maiden fair.
Yeah. Dance a jig and a kilt. All right. 510, gross. Wear a thong under tights, people. Otherwise, you need to wash them daily. And if not, ooh.
You do need to wash them daily. What are you talking about?
Whether or not you wear underwear, those things need to get washed.
They can't
after
be
you
used
wore them.
After
so sweaty
yoga.
And gross.
Like, again, these will be fine for tomorrow. No.
Mine definitely can't.
No, I sweat through. Thank you. I mean, I don't wear tights, but I'm sweating through everything I have on all the way through.
Yeah.
925. Fun fact. Andy Samberg's wife is a famous harpist and musician.
Oh, good.
She's local from Nevada City and related to Gavin Newsom.
What? Oh, wow.
Wait, another Nevada City?
Nevada City came up again in the same break?
It is literally in 30 years, never come up. And now we have two Nevada City references in one break.
All right.
805. There are harpists that come to play for patients in the hospital. It's beautiful to see tears fall from non-responsive and non-verbal patients as they are moved by the music. It truly impacts their experience and can at times stabilize their heart rates and bring calm.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
The magic of music.
Let's see. Hey, Maddie, are you the voice in the Hyundai ads? Also, who does the voice at Alice 97.3? We have lots of people that do voices. Nikki, listening. No, Nikki, I'm not in the Hyundai ads.
But he is available. Yes, he would love to.
Any one of us is happy to do voiceovers for anybody who's willing to pay us.
4-1. let's see here. Oh, this is a 4-1-5. Such BS. If you saved and paid off your home thanks to Proposition 13, you can definitely retire in California if you've lived here your whole life.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Good for you.
I hope that works for you. I know a lot of people who didn't save their whole lives, though, because they assumed Social Security was going to save them. And, you know, that boat they can't sell and the things that they have in the front yard sort of melting into the earth, like the RV and other, you know, toys. That can be a real problem when it's time to retire. The story in the Merck News about the retirement was a lady who celebrated a retirement and went off into retirement only to realize that she has to go get a job.
Oh, boy.
And not only that, she's working 6 days a week.
Oh.
Because retirement is unaffordable for her and she's unretired.
That sucks.
That is not what you want.
No.
To find out that you didn't pay enough. And none of us, by the way, really knows. Unless you go get someone who's pro and can look at everything you got and go, you're fine. Mm. Or
you need to get work.
You have big problems here.
Yeah.
415. Nevada City is such a cute place to visit.
3.
408, take 80 towards Reno and hang a left on the 49 after Sacramento, and you'll find Nevada City.
415.
I used to have a boyfriend in Nevada City. It's beautiful up there. I love going there.
All right.
And then somebody complained, Nevada, blah, you East Coasters. I was saying it wrong.
It's Nevada.
Nevada?
Yeah.
Nevada?
Nevada.
Nevada.
I say Nevada.
Yeah. Whatever.
I say Nevada, too, because I grew up with Nevada, but I also grew up with Oregon.
That's another one.
Yeah.
They have shirts that spell it like that.
Oregon.
Oregon.
That's funny.
Oregon.
Oregon. But Oregon is what I grew up with.
Yeah.
The end. This is the number two song in the country right now.
So groovy. I love it.
Yeah. Man I Need, Olivia Dean. Alice, 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. The Sarah and Vinny Show, super powered by San Francisco Bay Coffee.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Should we take a slug? Brace ourselves for Bridge the Gap? Here we go. Oh, sorry, Sam. You don't get any. And John, you have some at the house.
This is John, Sarah's husband, on the line. Is that right?
He's, Johnny there.
I'm listening.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, he sounds really good.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to crank him up.
What happened to your boy?
My boy.
Yeah, you, Bill Belichick. He's not a Hall of Famer. What a loser.
Boy. Yeah.
What are you going to do about that?
Nothing.
Oh.
I think it's done. It can't be changed till next year.
Oh,
but
John is a longtime Pats fan, everyone, yeah. And we've often wondered what exactly does he do for the operation over there. The
He's
New
like
England
an
Patriots.
Overseer. He just sees it all happening and has comments about it. all right, hold on. I have a little bit of business. Benson Boone, okay. Shibuzi, all this week, 905, 1205, 505. We're giving you code words. You take those to RadioAlice.com and get entered for your last chance to win tickets to this show ahead of the big game weekend, February 5th at the Bill Graham Civic Center. And it's courtesy of Bay Area Host Committee and Another Planet Entertainment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to play our weekly game, Bridge the Gap. Talking about my generation. My generation, baby. All right. We got the two generations, sort of, the Zillennials, the Z's, and Millennials. And then there's the Gen Xers. And we are welcoming back Sam Meekly, our IT genius. He is the returning winner for the Zillennials this week. This is week number two, his second round.
Sam,
meet my husband, John.
Nice to meet you, John.
Hi, Sam.
Let's turn Sam up a little bit. Speak right up there. Our challenger this week is my husband, John, joining us live from our home base in Mill Valley.
Yay!
I think I'm the most nervous about going up against John. He feels like he knows stuff.
No.
You know, he has huge holes in his knowledge.
What holes are those? Maybe I can address my questions quick. I'm not going to
physical holes in my brain. I am deteriorating.
Well, age does that.
Yep. It
no
does.
Offense.
So right. Does nitrous, but you know, also.
Yes, sure,
that
nitrous.
That doesn't help.
Acid, it all rots things away. Okay, here is how it works. Gen X will ask Zillennials questions that anyone in Gen X should know the answer to. If the Zillennial player answers correctly, you get a point. If they don't, the player from Gen X gets a chance to steal. So don't shout out answers. You listening, John? Don't shout out any answers. Okay. We'll go back and forth asking questions between the generations for five rounds. Everybody ready to go?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Mm-hmm. I believe it's your turn to start first this week.
All right, John, this question is for you. What secret is Plankton always trying to steal?
You got this.
The Krabby Patty. The Krabby Patty ingredient.
The recipe. Close enough.
I will say yes.
Yeah. You would have got that, huh, Sam?
I would have, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's one for Gen X.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Sammy. Who was the president before Jimmy Carter?
Oh.
Come on, Sammy!
You know, Maddie asked me this question yesterday, you know, while you guys were prepping it, and I didn't know it either, so don't feel too embarrassed. But you got this.
Come on, Sammy. Oh, should we do
I mean,
final
I
want to
say
answer?
Nixon, but I don't think that's right.
What is your final answer?
Nixon.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect. John?
Gerald Ford.
Oh, right. Man. That feels like 100 years ago.
That was my second guess.
Oh, you should have gone with your second
guess. I should
have,
yeah. Mm. Live and learn.
All right.
What was the anonymous tweeting social media platform that was big on college campuses?
Say that again?
It's like anonymous tweets.
Oh.
But it's its own social media platform.
So it's like tweeting, but
correct.
It isn't. It's not Twitter.
It's not Twitter, right?
Okay. What's your thought process, John?
Yeah, John.
Talk us through it.
I just don't know.
I also am coming out empty.
Have nothing.
So you are not alone.
Me too.
All right, Sammy.
What is Yik Yak?
Correct.
Oh, Yik Yak. Oh, of course. The old Yik Yak.
That's why I don't know. I've never heard of that.
I never heard of it either.
Sammy, name one of O.J. Simpson's lawyers when he was on trial for murdering his wife and Ron Goldman.
You got this.
Talk us through it.
Oh man, I practiced this one too.
You're telling me you're practicing for this?
Well, no, I was trying to think of like things that would be on there. And
yeah,
I was like,
this is on there for sure.
You got
a good
this.
Thing to
you
practice.
Got this.
I feel like this actually.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah, we had a big conversation about this question because I felt like that bridges the gap.
Well, I know they were called the Dream Team. I want to say, was it Rob Kardashian was one of them?
Robert Kardashian
yes!
was one
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, baby! Mm. We're back
Very
in
Very well done.
Nice job, dude.
Johnny Cochran would have
Johnny
been
Cochran,
a good
yeah.
guess.
Ashley Bailey.
Robert Shapiro.
Robert,
would have been
yeah.
a good guess.
Alan Dershowitz.
Kardashian was the only one I would have known.
Oh, very well done, Sam.
Did you guys watch that
job,
live?
Oh
yeah.
God.
Oh my God. It was on TV every day,
it
all day.
It was the number one TV show in the 90s.
It really was.
Without question.
And that trial went on for over a year, I think.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
Would get high, get pizza, watch the trial. Yep.
All right. So the score is 2-2.
All right.
All right, John.
This one I'm hoping isn't too niche. John. What instrument was mandatory to learn in school around third grade?
The recorder.
Yay! Correct. Did you guys have to learn that?
I didn't.
I didn't, but my kids
yes,
did.
Got it.
Yeah. Did you have to learn it, John?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I did get stuck when they said everyone's learning an instrument, and I was like, oh, well, I will take the trumpet. Those are taken. I will take the sax. That's also taken. I don't want the clarinet. Clarinet is free. You can have the clarinet. That's open for you. Yes. Yeah. Or if you'd like the flute. That's my option.
I had
option.
To take the flute.
Ah!
The flute was a good option because you had to, at least in my school district, you had to bring your instruments to school.
So it was
yes.
And bring them home.
The flute was small. Broke down. Yeah, a little.
In the backpack.
Yeah.
Wait.
My sister took flute because of Men at Work. Because she wanted to learn how to play the flute part and
oh,
land
okay.
down under.
Did she ever learn it?
Yeah. Actually, I think that's the only thing she learned, actually.
Nice. We should get together and jam.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
well,
boy.
She lives in West Virginia. We'll have to go there. But you love West Virginia, John,
well, I'll
right?
bring my banjo.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sammy, what radio station does Johnny Fever work for?
Talk it out.
Does he still work there?
He will always work there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Lost on this one.
John?
Crap.
No.
Whoa, come
impossible.
Come on, John.
Impossible. You're going to kill yourself when you
I
hear
know,
what the
I
answer
will.
To this is.
I'm so disappointed in you,
Me
John.
Me too. I think I'm mixing things up. Is that Johnny Fever, a Brady Bunch reference?
You can't ask any questions like
you
that.
You can't
that's,
ask
I'm
any
so
questions.
Sorry, that's not allowed.
Oh, all right.
Oh, my God, John.
So is this a no?
It's a no.
Oh, my God.
First of all, you're thinking of Johnny Bravo from the Brady Bunch. He works for WKRP in Cincinnati.
Well, I can play that song. Want me to play
no,
it?
No, we don't want you to.
Partial
no,
points?
No points for you.
Style hey, points.
If yeah.
you did you ever see that, Sam? WKRP in Cincinnati?
I have no idea what you guys
No
are
idea.
Oh,
got
is it a long-running TV show?
I have heard of that TV show. Do you think it would hold up? Should we watch it?
No.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
I've rewatched them. I love them. I watch them all the time. They're
what
great.
Was the nighttime guy's name?
Venus Flytrap.
Venus Flytrap. I was trying to think about
I don't know
that.
Who what Lonnie Sanders' name in the show was.
Lonnie Anderson was the she was like the secretary, right?
Yeah, she was the receptionist.
What was her name in it though?
Oh, I have no idea.
I've forgotten.
Bunny or something.
God, I know.
Like a bunny.
I watch it all the time.
All right,
my turn
yes,
to ask John.
Turn.
John, this one's for you. At what award show might you get slimed?
John.
Come on, John.
John.
Come on,
you were
John.
Stiff.
You can do this.
Dad, yeah. You were around for all
stop,
of it.
Stop. No hints.
There's no hint there.
The
final answer.
Cartoon Network.
Okay, something. Go ahead.
What?
Is it the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards?
It sure
it is. And we're 3-3.
Oh my gosh.
Lonnie Anderson played Jennifer Marlowe.
Jennifer Marlowe.
I don't recognize the name at
Jennifer.
All.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
All right. What football team did the song The Super Bowl Shuffle?
Chicago Bears.
Oh! Yes! Oh! That's what I'm talking about.
How does he know that?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Would you have gotten that one?
Yeah.
Of course he would have.
I watched the league.
They beat and they, the Pats that year.
That was a huge part of the show.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
I only watched the first season of that show.
I don't even know what show that is, the league. Do you watch the league, John?
Oh, the league is great. It's about fantasy football.
I don't know if you'd like it, Sarah. It wasn't for me.
Okay.
It's a boy
I'll take your
show.
Word for
it's
it, yeah.
definitely What's, a boy show.
Can you get us an update on the score, please?
The score is currently Sam's in the lead with 4, and John has 3.
Okay.
Oh,
and I think there's one question
left.
Each.
Yeah.
Left.
Right. We are bridging the gap between the generations right
we
now.
We are, yes.
So this is the final question the Zillennials are asking Gen X. What is COD?
COD? Is it?
I'm not asking you.
No, but I'm asking you, is it just a word, COD, or is it an acronym or something?
If you know, you know.
All right. Because I can think of 3 things that it is.
COD is...
Well, it could be a trick question, but I mean, the only thing I can think of is it's a fish.
It's not a fish. Would you like to try again?
I feel like this has... I don't know. I want a lodge a complaint.
Go ahead.
I couldn't consider
cash on
me
delivery.
Complaining.
It's
no,
cash on
not cash on delivery. Sam?
Call of Duty.
Correct. It's Call of Duty.
You play Call of Duty. How
did
you not know that?
I play that, but it's never referred to.
I actually had a feeling that John played it, or maybe you've mentioned it. I was like, that's gettable for him.
All right. Well, at this point, I'm sorry to say, John, we can close down the studio at home because we do have one more question just to see if Sam
let's do it.
Let's see if Sam can pump up his score here. In the movie Vacation, the Griswolds go to what theme park? Whose swallow was that?
That was John's.
Major.
John, was that you, Swallow?
He's oh, yeah, sorry.
Stress drinking his San Francisco Bay coffee from home.
Yeah. It's delicious.
I don't know it, but Cedar Point?
No, incorrect. John, got a guess?
No, I don't want to guess anymore. If I'm not going to win, why should I guess?
Does that mean you don't know?
He doesn't know, I guess. That's my guess.
He doesn't know.
Oh, no, I know.
Well, what is it then? You don't know.
Well, what's the answer?
Do you know the answer, John?
No, I don't.
It's Wally World. Wally World.
Oh, that's right.
All right, John, thanks for playing. You're amazing.
Yeah, whatever.
LOL.
That was great. You're going to pay for that when I get home.
Uh-huh. Hey, nice to meet you, Sam.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
See you next week.
I'm going to hang up on John. I love you, John. See you later.
Bye.
Oh.
That was disappointing.
He didn't love you back.
Oh, he didn't? I didn't know this.
You're going to announce the winner so I can play their music?
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, Sam. Week 2. The Zillennials have crushed it. You did crush it, Sam. Oh, Sam took his headphones off. Wait, put your headphones back on. Enjoy your theme song. He's like, people just like stand up and walk out.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah.
You guys have a show today.
No, we don't.
And they stay there.
Congratulations.
And 2 weeks in a row. All
this
I do
one.
Is win.
I don't like to compete.
Yeah. I know. Look at her happy dancing in there. All right, Sam. We'll see you next week. Good job.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. You are a nice boy.
Yes. You get any texts?
Everybody's going 925-510-707. John, I'm screaming WKRP in Cincinnati.
I know.
Everybody was really mad about that.
That's surprising.
Yeah,
you know,
that is
so
surprising.
Is Wally World. Like, what?
Yeah, John, I didn't, you know, I saw that question and I went, I don't know that John is like a big Clark Griswold.
He hasn't seen that 1,000 times.
No, oh no.
Sometimes the pressure gets to you too, you know?
Yeah,
sure, let's throw him that bone. That's nice of you as the winner.
650, this game and Bob's Movie Club inspired us to make our kids watch older movies. We just saw National Lampoon's Vacation. My kids were screaming the answer in the car. I love this game.
Aw.
You're good parents if you've shown your kids Vacation. It's an important movie.
I really do enjoy this game. This is pretty fun.
We're literally bringing the generations closer together.
Right. I feel closer to Sam. Like, so close I could, like, choke him out a little bit. I feel like that would be.
I didn't mean for it to tie into this next story I'm about to do, but I did mention a story. I dated a lady who had a 401k club among others. And it was really just an opportunity, I think, an opportunity to hang with a friend, have some cheese and wine, and maybe at some point they open up their computer laptops and just, you know,
compare notes,
reconfigure right. their sure. 401ks. It's a thing, though. It turns out admin nights are the best way to get things done in 2026.
What does that mean?
Admin nights are when you get your partner or a couple friends together one night a week or month, and you do all your boring life stuff together. So you can do it at a bar or a coffee shop or at someone's home, order pizza, sodas, booze, and you do the stuff like your bills, your taxes, your whatever.
Oh, admin together. Nights.
To me,
it's a party where everyone's working on that crap we hate to do.
I don't see it. I'm just going to do that real quick here at home and then go to an actual party. But, you know,
no, you're not. You're
I know, I'm not. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. Mean, sure. Know, okay.
For the sake of a conversation, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go to that party right after I finish my administrative duties.
Admin nights, everyone. Are you on board?
No, but I can see why somebody might think that was fun.
By the way,
more fun than, I don't know, slogging through that stuff.
As Bob mentioned, she likes, there's certain content she's getting that she likes. And yes. I saw this content that I recently went, oh, that is so true. You know, when you see something and you just go, oh, they nailed it.
Ooh,
and it is
so true.
The first 75 years of January are the hardest.
Mm, yes, that is a really well said. It is the forever month. Even now, we're not done with it.
No!
Even when the weekend's day. Right. Oh, my God.
Like, yeah. I'm having a great day, but it's
endless.
It's not even 9 a.m.
I don't understand. It was Friday when I woke up this morning.
I hope if I'm ever diagnosed with cancer, it's like in January because there's a lot of extra time to enjoy myself because this month is so effing long.
Oh, my God.
So I saw that and went, oh, I feel you 100%.
Yes.
I feel all of that.
Yeah. There are certain things in the world that are like that. If you ever... driven across the country and you make it to Philadelphia, to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, we would always call the endless state because from the west of Pennsylvania to get to Philly, which is on the point way out the front, it's like 100 years
it's
around
a long
that.
Drive, yeah.
It's really long. Mm-hmm. Just things that are endless, things that, and you're not enjoying them, especially the people who are doing like dryuary. They're busting out tomorrow. I mean, it's the 30th. You almost, you pretty much made it.
Except this day has 31.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're saying,
and the first
screw
is a
you.
Sunday. What the heck?
Yeah. You know, though, the weekends in January is just as fast as all the other weekends.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Faster, even.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In Maryland,
yeah,
adultery is a misdemeanor punishable by a $10 fine.
Totally worth it, brah.
That is less than nothing.
Right. I think 10 bucks these days is like the equivalent of a quarter when we were kids. Like, if someone would give you a quarter, you'd be like, oh my God, I can get 2 candy bars and 5 pieces of penny candy. This is great. I'm so excited.
Grew up in the 30s?
I mean, no, but... no.
2 candy bars
you
and penny candy?
Candy bars, like a Snickers was 10
Where's
cents.
Where's your drum hit?
Where's...
You didn't have a penny candy store near you?
Penny candy, love it. I wasn't getting 2 candy bars for that. I mean, that's...
10 cents each and 5 pieces of penny candy.
Tell me more about the... Depression.
What were you paying for a candy bar in the 70s?
Probably like 50 cents.
50 cents? No. You're
crazy. Who even ate
remember.
Candy bars? I was
oh
buying
God,
cigarettes.
I ate as many candy bars
Jesus.
As I possibly could.
Candy bars.
My mom would send me to the corner store with a dollar, and it was, I think it was 80 cents for her pack of cigarettes that she'd sent a note with me, and I would get them for her. Salem 100s.
Cigarettes too. They were just for your mom.
They were for my mom.
Got it.
And then I got to spend the 20 cents left over.
Sarah, what was the Dust Bowl like?
I lived on the East Coast. I don't know about the Dust Bowl, Jerko. Josh.
Oh, oh, in my face.
You're a terrible boyfriend.
I don't think he is. He seems like a generous lover, don't you think?
Yes. Very generous.
You have to have a girlfriend to be a bad boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. He does. He's got a wife. He's a bad husband?
Well, that's been established.
That is absolutely fact.
Oh, Maddie. Oh.
I hate you all so much.
The distance between their homes speaks to that. Ouch.
I'm going to tell you something. Lisa Smoot's coming in hot. Like, she's got stories. We've got coffee. San Francisco Bay Coffee. We are all fueled up. Oh, my God. Now she's not talking? No, listen.
Well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to talk.
No. You'll be, listen, Vinny comes in. I come in and I go, oh, my God, you're not going to believe the story that Lisa Smoot has about our connection. And he goes out to say hi. And he comes back in and he goes, my story's better than yours.
It is, for sure.
So
by a lot.
I'm betting that my story wins.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll bet you $5.
So in October, I went to Fort Worth for a family business conference with Wells Fargo.
This is President Lisa.
President Lisa.
Madam President.
Right.
Right.
You're on, I mean, HRH, please.
Oh. Her Royal Highness.
So, Royal Highness of Coffee.
Please. Yes,
right.
Please.
Okay.
And we had assigned seating at our first dinner. And I'm standing by my seat and this man comes up to me and says, hi, nice to meet you. And I said, he said, my name's Tucker. And I said, oh, hi, I'm Lisa. He goes, where are you from? And I go, San Francisco, where are you from? And he goes, Virginia, or wherever he lives.
I think he lives
in
Virginia.
And he goes, oh, I've got a cousin who's a DJ in San Francisco. And I go, oh, what's his or her name? And he said, Sarah. And I go, Sarah from Sarah and Vinny? Are you kidding me? And then I said, are you the one that touched tongues with Sarah?
Oh, my God!
And then he sort of looked at me a little aghast. And then I said,
went, yeah.
And I said, did you go to the family reunion? What dish did you bring? And he was just sort of stepping back and freaking out because I literally listen every morning on my way up 2.5 hours.
Oh.
And so he goes, God, she talks about all that stuff on the air? And I go, yeah. And so he couldn't even answer what dish it was. And then he goes, oh, well, I'm going to have to send Sarah a picture.
So I have a picture of Lisa from October in my phone.
Yeah. And so, then you guys started talking on October 17th. I was going from there to wherever. No, I do remember this. And we've never advertised before last year. And you talked about this, you know, Tucker and our relation. And Vinny's like, come on, Lise, you got to start advertising on our show. And I thought, why aren't we? And,
Why aren't we?
Exactly. So here we are.
All right. So
okay. So that story does in fact win. It beats mine.
So Vinny,
I like my brush with her.
Yes. Vinny lived in San Mateo. I live in San Mateo. And when he was painting his apartment or his house, wherever he lived, getting ready to leave to go to San Jose or wherever he went.
I was moving in with Christina, who I'm now married to. Yes. Yeah.
I was at Home Depot with my daughter, who was probably 13 at the time. And we were doing. And as we were standing there, he said something to the checkout person, and Katie hit my arm. She goes, Mom, that's Vinny. And I go, what? Vinny who? And I turn around and I go, oh, that is Vinny. And so we went over and said hello, and he took a picture with Katie. But that was not nearly, a good a story.
$5, please.
I know. I just lost. I mean, I'm glad that we had a nice connection. Yeah. I always love that people say hello.
Yeah.
And as you told me the story, I went, oh, I have a better story than she does. But it's not, because she met Tucker.
I know.
And knew about the tongue touching and the covered dish.
We taught our cousins how to make out.
Yeah.
We did it. We're 10 years old and we were talking about French kissing and we
touched tongues.
Touched tongues.
And you know what? Everyone I tell that story to says, oh, yeah, I did that. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not that unusual.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa,
welcome.
For the backup.
$5, please.
You got it. All right. Vinny, hit her.
I will. Oh, right. Man.
So we're talking with Madam President, Her Thank Royal you. Highness, Thank Lisa you. Smoot, who is she's the president of San Francisco Bay Coffee. We're super proud and psyched to have you
Thank
as
you.
Part of the show. How do you like how we branded the whole studio?
I love it.
It's amazing, right?
I look on Instagram and see the snippets, and I'm like, look, you guys, look at, here we are.
Look, there yep. we are.
It's awesome.
You've
it's
got
awesome.
Us all jumped up
yeah.
on Good. Caffeine. All right, so this is a fun, anything that you'd like to state before we jump right into our, like, do you have a mission statement or something that you'd like to tell our listeners about San Francisco Bay Coffee?
We are a family-owned business, been in business for 47 years. My dad started the company 1979, I think it was.
That's awesome.
He literally liquidated everything he owned, including his kids' college tuitions.
Oh, boy.
At 42 years old, I think about this all the time, 42 years old, he liquidated everything he had, said, you're going to have to pay for college, and bought this bankrupt coffee and tea company. And from there, it just snowballed and got bigger and bigger. We bought a coffee company.
Oh.
We became vertically integrated. We are one of two.
What does that mean?
We have coffee roasting. We have roasting, we have milling, and we have farms. I was just in Panama last week at our farms in Panama. Beautiful place. I'm sure the surfing's awesome.
From the ground up is what you're talking about, yeah. all the way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And it is, we are one of two 100% sustainably sourced coffee in the nation.
Pete's, really?
Pete's is the other one. And, you know, we make sure there's no child labor, fair wages, you know, no, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. It's fun.
Nice. And I liked that you have the compostable coffee, the little pods.
Yeah, pod to sod in 90 days.
Pod to sod in 90 days.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And you were doing that long before it was, you know, people started whining about all that extra plastic they were throwing
yeah,
away.
That's all we've ever done is that. Just because that's sort of who we are and, you know, trying to take care of the environment and, you know, we're not going to go... And the plastic cups, it's like making coffee and drinking it out of a red Solo cup. You
right.
taste the plastic, it's not good. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you had like a lot of built-in fans here in the building. When I said that we were going to start doing stuff for San Francisco Bay Coffee, this guy Robin down the hall would not shut up about it. Like,
wow.
He's like, oh, I've been drinking that for years. That is some really good coffee. That's delicious.
So, piggyback on that, I have been getting emails from people who listen to Sarah and Vinny go, oh my God, I didn't know you were advertising on Sarah and Vinny. I love that show. God, you know, it's like family to me. And writing me and saying, I take my coffee everywhere I go. And now this is a great morning combination. So it's awesome.
A love fest.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, so now we're going to put you to the test.
Okay.
Bad advice. She doesn't seem nervous at all. Maybe we will. We'll let you go first on all of these.
She's doing great. Uh-oh.
I know.
Uh-oh.
So far, so good, Your Royal Highness.
Can't shut me up. That's the problem.
That runs in this circle.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
I'm in tough competition.
All right. So here we go. Bad advice. If you are a listener out there with any kind of problem, big, small, whatever it is, we are here to help. We'll pick your problem apart and give it a good shake and see what falls out. Badadvice973@gmail.com. So I went with kind of a friendship theme today.
Okay.
Because I feel like these are, everybody's got that friend that's, or the friend situation. So I've got a couple kind of very different ones. So here's the first one. Hello, radio fam. Please don't say my name. I've been friends with X for about 5 years. This person's life is nonstop drama, work, love, all the things. And I've watched them make some choices I really don't agree with. They've gotten involved in an MLM, a multi-layer. I had to look this up. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So is that like a pyramid scheme?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
It's like Amway.
Or like selling the knives or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
People, God. So they've gotten involved with that. Now I feel like I'm just a source of income for them. It's causing me a lot of stress and anxiety. I'd like this person out of my life, but I don't know how to go about it. I'm super conflict averse and our professional lives are somewhat intertwined. I'd just like to gradually ghost this person, but as the eldest millennial, I don't know how to do it without feeling guilty as I know this person wants to stay friends. Please help. I've loved you guys since the start and missed the live shows. This person wants to stay anonymous. All right, Lisa, you're first up.
Cut him loose.
How do you do it, though? She knows she wants to.
You know, just stop being available. That's what I would say. Just, sorry, I can't. And, you know, touch base every once in a while. People come into your lives, I believe, that for a certain amount of times for things. And then when it starts getting toxic in your mind, you know, why are you staying? It's only going to make you feel worse. So just, I would just be less and less available, you know, be cordial.
What if they call you out on it? Then you just say, I'm trying to take a step back.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on myself.
Oh. Oh, that's pretty good.
I'm trying to work
on
myself.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. That's a, you know, a cliche. It's not you, it's me. But I would just step back and say, I'm sorry. I'm super busy and I'm, you know, I'm trying to work on some XYZs, whatever it is, myself. And I need time
by
myself.
Space.
I need time and space.
Nice.
That's what I would say.
Vinny, I know punt is the answer.
Well, what I actually think that President Lisa, I was with her for the first half of her answer, which is try to pull back a little. Mm. But then if the questions come in, that's when you bring out the cold, hard truth.
Mm.
And you just say. And I've been working on my tact. We've talked about this the other day. I have usually the cold, hard truth comes right to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to soften that and pad that and find a way to make that a little more tactful. But honestly, the cold, hard truth, if she doesn't pick up what you're putting down, or he, I don't know if I just assume that, or, but my answer is that after you've tried to back away and you get that sort of relentless,
what's going on? What's
the deal?
Happening?
That's when you just say, listen,
it's you.
The drama, it's too much. I mean, it's fair to say that. Like, I in my own life don't want no trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see that you are busy with it.
Right.
And I say, get after it. Do your thing. But I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I feel like it is complicated because she does say their professional lives are somewhat intertwined. So I don't really know what that
means. That's why I feel like the soft leave
back away
is the start.
We're
and then
fine.
The hard,
I'm just so busy.
And then the hardcore, I'm sorry, you're drama. You're a bust. Like we used to, this is like when we were out, you know, in our partying days when we were kids, the person who was trouble needed to be left behind because we don't want that.
Yeah.
Right.
We're trying to have fun and enjoy ourselves. And this person seems to bring the cops or, you know, whatever, you know, what are you doing?
Riffraff.
We're trying to have some fun. Like, why are we always in trouble with this person?
Maddie, Bob.
I totally agree with Vinny. Some specifics about how to step away is, you know, if they reach out and they want to make plans, text back very slowly. Don't text back right away. Maybe wait a couple of days. Maybe even let them follow up. Obviously, don't initiate anything first.
Yes, don't initiate.
Make excuses as to why you can't do things. But don't be overly nice and friendly in your text messages because you don't want to send mixed signals. And I completely agree with Vinny on the point of being honest if it comes to that because people deserve to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is going through their lives and they're having all of these relationships that aren't working out, but the person is always telling them, oh no, it's not you, it's me, don't worry, I'm just need space, like you're great, then they're less likely to be able to reflect on things that they might actually need to reflect on.
Oh.
And that's unfair to them.
Mm-hmm. That's like that movie High Fidelity we just reviewed. Like the guy needed to get some hard truths to actually go, hold on a second, maybe it is me. We can learn. We can learn from cinema. All right, Maddie.
I agree with Lisa. This is every breakup with a girlfriend I've ever had. I do the slow ghosting.
Oh.
Over time. Just not available, not available.
Just, I have pulled the issues. Do the hard ghost.
But I'm with her. I would feel, I'm like one of these people that just feels like I don't like it when somebody's angry with me. And I don't want to make them angry, so I don't want to just tell them, hey, you suck. So I would just keep ghosting until finally they get the hint. If they don't get the hint, then you do have to eventually say, you're not getting the hint here, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm too busy for you.
It's an interesting sort of character in many people's lives. I have a friend who, she's a lot, and she knows she's a lot, but she also, when she's told she's a lot, it hurts her like to her core.
Mm.
And you're not trying to do that, but she's aware that she's a lot. She knows she is. It's unfair to latch on to the people around you when you know that that's who you are and what you bring into their lives, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's aware of it. It just hurts her when she's told, you're a lot, man. You're a lot. I don't want to have to manage you.
I can't take it anymore.
So I think that she got it.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate, the first answer. Try the slow move And then in the end, you may have to just say, you're too much.
Yeah. And you're quit buying stuff from her. Like, stop that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not required.
I'm not doing that.
That's enabling her.
Right.
Oh, Lisa just crushed this.
Yeah. Good right. job, Lisa. All right, here's the next one. This one's a little bit more involved.
All right.
Hi, Alice team. I'm ready to seek your advice on a friendship dynamic that has been weighing on me. I'm part of a long-standing group of 8 women who have known each other since various stages of life, elementary, middle, and high school. So these are childhood friends, 8 of them. We're now in our mid to late 30s and live throughout the Bay Area. 2 members of the group are mothers, each with 2 kids. The rest of us, the other 6, no kids and have chosen not to have them in the future. Even though we've chosen not to become parents ourselves, we attend every birthday party, baptism, and other child-centered events, bring gifts, make a genuine effort to be present and supportive even when it requires travel or schedule adjustments.
You're good friends.
You are really good friends.
Because going to a kid birthday party without a kid is, I don't understand it.
Well, the nice thing about going without a kid is that you can look around and go, oh, this is why.
I have chosen correctly.
God, Jesus.
Okay. Yep.
Right. So here's where it starts. In December 2024, one of the moms sent a group text explaining she was planning her daughter's first birthday party and would only be inviting friends with children, citing space and budget limitations. While we understood the practical explanation, it stung, and none of the childless friends responded to her text. About 2 weeks later, she followed up saying she'd reconsidered and the party wouldn't be the same without us extending an invitation to everyone. By then, most of us had made other plans and were no longer available. Plus, it felt more like a pity invitation, so none of us attended.
Or 0 RSVPs, and then they need bodies in the place.
Right. Right.
Oh, right.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, these people's, ostensibly, this is the friend group, you know?
You know what, though? I will say, and I think this is pretty widely known, as you have kids, they have friends, or whether it's from daycare or from...
You acquire
a friend group, and all those kids play together. And that is, if you don't have that, you need to build that.
Right.
It's an important part of and you end up being very grateful for those people.
It's incredible support.
Because they can play with each other, and then you two
pick up your kids at carpool.
Yes.
Or, you know, all
the
stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you need an emergency place for your kid to go, then you've got these
other
parents.
So I do, in her defense, understand what she's trying to build there, that friend group.
Yeah.
So now we're fast forwarding to this past fall, 2025. The same friend texted the group asking us to keep a Saturday in January open for the same daughter's 2nd birthday. We all responded enthusiastically. January came and went. There was no follow-up, no invitation, no clarification. We later learned that there was a party. Happened the first week in January, and only the other friend with children received a formal invitation. Mm-hmm. This has left the childless members of the group feeling confused and hurt. We don't believe there's any malice or ill intent behind her actions, but the repeated exclusion feels significant and difficult to ignore. It's sad to feel like we're valued friends only conditionally, and it's even harder that she may not realize the impact this has on the group as a whole. Do we have the right to feel snubbed? Here's where her questions come in.
Yes.
Do we have the right to feel snubbed? Is this just an unfortunate but common reality of friendships changing as people become parents? Or is this something that deserves a conversation? How should we navigate this without creating unnecessary tension? Thank you for your perspective and for making my morning commute much more bearable over the years. Sincerely, the friends without car seats. Very clever.
Cute.
You want to go first?
Yeah. Friends without car seats. I would call them out and say, hey, I feel like, you know, I've been snubbed. And we are, you know, we've known each other for 50 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is.
Right. Childhood friends.
What's going on?
I feel like this is a situation where you could just ask and then, but I also understand that she might be like, it's a lot. I just want to coordinate this one thing with all the kids. And who really wants to go to a 2-year-old's birthday
then
anyway?
Then don't send a save the date.
Right.
Then don't save the save the date. And I think it's fair to say, hey, I don't care if I come, but don't say save the date and then ghost me.
Right.
Because they're old enough friends that she should be able to say that and say, I don't really care, but, you know, your actions, your seesaw actions are really hurtful and confusing.
You know, there was a mom group story about Ashley Tisdale and Hillary Duff just recently, like the dynamics, but those were all moms. So there's a mom group. So I wonder if there's some dynamics happening in whatever mom group she's got going on And she's going to all these other parties. And now when she throws the party, there's a bunch of not moms there. And she feels weird about that. Like, I wonder if there's even an extra layer for the mother.
I think you nailed it. Yeah. I think she maybe is either starting to feel closer to her other mom friends, or her other mom friends feel self-conscious when the non-moms are there. Maybe they
going, ugh, maybe they have disgusting.
Yeah, maybe they have a hard time connecting on things.
Right.
Maybe they feel judged. Maybe even if it's all in their head.
Right.
This topic is so interesting to me because I've heard it the other way a million times that mm-hmm. the people who don't have kids the people who have kids start to feel like, oh, my cool friends don't want to hang out with me anymore because they don't have kids and they're going out and having fun and they don't want me included because they think all I am is a mom now.
Well, Karen always has throw up on her blouse. I mean, what are we going to do at the bar with that?
And baby wipes.
805 texted in, isn't having a party and not allowing kids to come the same thing? P.S. My wife and I only have friends with kids. Diego on YouTube from Sacramento. Coming from a single, like I was married for 20 years without children. We just stopped being friends with people when they had kids. I mean, basically, our lives were so different that, you know, we grew apart and we didn't have. I mean, I'm trying to think like who we hung out with kids. Probably nobody. You know, maybe we'd hang out with them without their kids, but like it wasn't, you know, a big thing.
Isn't that interesting? It's fine. I'm trying to think if I have any friends that don't have kids. Like my major friend group is all moms I met when I first moved here and
right.
had kids.
And one of the things that hit me as you were reading the letter, but by the way, this is bad advice we're doing right now with President Lisa.
President Lisa Smoot.
Right.
From San Francisco Bay Coffee.
The first thing that hit me was I was happy to hear, because I don't hear a lot of it, that women from childhood stayed friends all the way through into adulthood, through mm-hmm. college, high yep. school. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see that a lot. Mm. I
have a childhood friend.
But do you hang regularly?
No,
like
she
these
lives
guys
in Seattle.
Do? Right. So these yeah. guys are still
I know,
actively pursuing
group.
This friendship. What I would say is I absolutely understand why she's trying to build that, as I already said, that the kid friend, you know, group, because you do lean on each other and help each other, mm-hmm. whether that's a date night or just I am working. They're going to fire me if I leave and go get that kid from school on a sick day, whatever. Mm-hmm. You need those people in your life. But the truth is you should be like, I really can't comment on the party thing because I would be glad to not be invited.
Yeah, I would be absolutely like, birthday.
I think you need to look long term. She's going through, like you say, what's the term you use? The thick of it?
Yeah.
Like you're in the thick of it. You got a little kid dependent at all times.
There's sickness. I think they both have two kids, the two women who have kids.
I feel like you guys just hang through this mm-hmm. and you'll still be great friends on the other side of this sort of first 10 year
window.
Give
her a little space.
Give her the space she needs. Don't trip on the invites. It's, believe me, you're lucky to have been left out of that stuff. Kid parties are not fun.
Right.
I have a group of high school friends. I think there's 10 of us. And, you know, every year in our 30s, 40s, 50s, we'd go on a trip a year together.
Oh.
That's awesome.
And we
just you guys, no spouses,
no
kids.
No. And we all grew up in Lafayette. So tonight I'm meeting seven of them for dinner because two of them are up from, you know, the South Bay or the Southern California area to come up. We're all going to go to dinner.
Oh.
So it's really nice, you know, that we see each other. We have a group text that we text periodically on and, you know, updates of grandchildren and that kind of stuff. So it's really nice to have that.
How lucky.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
That's a really nice thing to have, mm-hmm. a group that you go through your whole life. And I actually feel like this person can, I think if you let your feelings go and yes, they're busy. Don't feel snubbed.
Agreed.
She's got this whole thing going on.
Don't overreact.
Right. Just let it go. Try to be understanding. Know that these people still love you. And maybe past all this, it all comes back together.
These are the people.
When they get out of diapers.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it calms down.
Mm-hmm. These are the people that grew up with you. You should cherish it, but also be able to pull back from it and go, they're going through a whole other thing that we're not experiencing with them. Mm-hmm. Like, be cool and be on the other side of that when they're ready.
Right.
Well, as usual, we've solved everybody's problems. You know what? Yay us. It must be the San Francisco Bay Coffee. Lisa, it was a delight having you on
really
today.
Really nice meeting you.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. And everybody out there, get yourself a pound of this. Just give it a try. You're going to love it. San Francisco Bay Coffee.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at
97.3. I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.